You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
I need to offer everyone in our audience a shipping container. Yesterday, I need to offer an apology, Stugatz, to everybody, because yesterday was a weird day in terms of technical difficulties, and we're proud of the show that we did, especially under the circumstances, but here's where I failed, and I failed in a pretty spectacular way, and it forces me to get to this particular party a day later than I should, but I have done some reporting, some investigating, and I've been made deeply uncomfortable by the people who were sitting courtside to heckle LeBron James. And we did not have nearly enough fun with this yesterday, because the backstory, if you're not familiar, is a woman who I believe to be 25 years old, but appears to have had, I think, a lot of work done. I don't even say that judgmentally. I'm just saying that her face looks a little bit cartoonishly sort of perfect in a way that usually you see from older Hollywood or at Miami Heat games throughout our crowd all the time. So, but this is a young woman who seems to have had a lot of work done, and the man that she's with, who is much older, who I believe LeBron James dismissed as a steroid ass guy. This back and forth is amazing for a number of different reasons. Now, I will give you LeBron James's latest quote on this subject because it was funny. And I also want to explain to you that as part of my reporting, I ended up kind of inexplicably and unforgivably listening to a Q&A between this couple where they were giving up the information about their life. I don't know under what circumstances. I don't know if she's an influencer. I don't know what their fame is, but they've got enough money to be courtside at a Hawks game. And those courtside seats are B-scene seats, and they're hugely expensive. They're hugely expensive even during a pandemic. But we all recognize this couple, do we not, in Miami? Because the place that I ended up, this particular couple, is, of course, when they're being asked as a first question on a Q&A, Where did they meet? Where was their first date? Of course it was at the Fontainebleau. And of course, thereafter, it was at Live. Because of course. Because our entire city is populated by these two people, and they tend to sit courtside at Heat games.
You know how many couples have that same story? I mean.
They went. This guy is a meathead meatball. Like, he is just... Yeah, and this couple is amazing. I don't even know how to explain to people who don't understand what I'm talking about right now. Maybe you guys can help me, because we didn't have enough fun. This story should have been dominating what we were doing yesterday.
We tried our best to play audio, but it was off of Billy's home computer. She posted, the wife posted to her social media. This went viral. About her side of what went down at that Hawks game.
This is such... No, listen, let me tell you. LeBron James looked at my husband during the game and cussed him out, and I stood up and I go, don't talk to my husband. Talk to my husband one more time and I will you up. And he started fighting with me. He goes, shut your mouth, dog. And I go, you shut your mouth.
All right, so a reasonable discussion between those two people. And I think, I don't know, let's see if we could get some votes here on what the funniest part of all of this is, because I don't know what I'd put at the top, but one of the things that would have to go there is that woman saying with a straight face, threatening wrestling promo into a camera, that she would bleep up LeBron James. That she will fight LeBron James. I don't know what she weighs, but in heels, I'm guessing 115 pounds. I will bleep you up, LeBron James. She's saying it at the height of indignance in a way that suggests she believes it, that she would harm LeBron James. Her husband, the aforementioned steroid ass, LeBron didn't call him a freak. Did he just call him old steroid ass?
Old steroid ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So old steroid ass. This is the LeBron James quote. Yes, Billy.
Daddy Carlos 006 is his name.
Okay.
If you want to refer to him by his name, it's Daddy Carlos.
Okay.
Of course. Yes. Daddy, the Carloses.
Daddy Carlos. I don't know. Are they the Carloses? Are they married? We don't know if they're wed or
yes,
not.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
yes,
they're married. They're last yes.
Name. Daddy
yes.
Carlos.
Yep. She kept saying my husband.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you, because that explains why it is that this quote also has my husband in it. But here's the quote from LeBron James.
That would do it.
I love the fans, but I don't take that kind of talk from anybody. There is a line that should never be crossed. She came at me with blatant disrespect, so I told them to sit their ass down, and here's where he takes out the knife. I thought I was talking to a father and daughter until she started calling him husband. I was stunned.
That's well done.
I was
he's
stunned.
Carlos, he spent though. 4 hours. He spent 4 years in Miami, though. I mean...
Billy had the right
Billy,
idea.
The line was a good one. It should have stood alone. Mike trampled it.
I did.
Or Stugatz trampled it. I'm sorry,
that's
Mike.
A
Mike.
Fine.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Well, there's no greater embarrassment or shame on the show when you stomp on a good line. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but you still feel bad.
So tell me more about Daddy Carlos. What was it? Daddy Carlos 66?
Daddy Carlos 006, unfortunately, his IG is private, so I can't get a lot of information. But Juliana Carlos has a YouTube channel, and it looks like she does. There's the Turks and Caicos hair tutorial, the Miami Daytime Glam tutorial. Ooh, couples Q&A. Maybe that's the one that you saw.
That is
no,
the
that
one.
Was a week
no,
ago.
No, that is. I think that's the one that I saw, that couples Q&A that made me say, of course you met at Live. Of course you had your first kiss at Live. Of course you met at the Fontainebleau.
True love.
For drinks. These people, Billy, these people are yes. not Miamians, are they? They are Atlanta people, are they not?
Well, it's a good question, Dan. So Daddy Carlos and Juliana Carlos both have ATL and then like the straight line Miami. So it seems like they may split their time between two places.
All right, Chris, what are your thoughts of this entire story? Like, how did you absorb this as it washed over you?
I just thought that this lady's demeanor, like she was saying all this, all her post-game comments were just, she was like talking as if she was coming off well in all of this. And I was like, she has no self-awareness that she is the one that looks terrible in all this, but she was just so confident that she was in the right. And I was just like, it's amazing how some people's lack of self-awareness.
Roy, what were your thoughts?
I just found it funny that big man over here, Daddy Carlos, let his wife defend him in front of LeBron James.
Oh, that is not something that Try me, Nunya GD business. That would not be something that he was here for in any way. When did Roy become a tough guy? What's happening around here?
I mean, apparently this week. I've never heard him do this before.
What would you tell LeBron out of curiosity, Roy, if LeBron said something to you that crossed the line?
Oh, I'll sit my ass down. That's LeBron James. Oh.
So in that case, it wouldn't be Try Me or Nunya GD business. By the way, that business card that we're going to make for Roy, Nunya GD, the business is underneath, right? Like, that's the job. That's not his last name, right? It's Nunya GD.
And here comes then, Dan producing t-shirts again. No, his last name is business.
No, his last name is business, man.
Yeah. We actually had a company, Roy, did we not, reach out to us, Vistaprint, who wants to make these business cards for Roy. I mean, this is incredible.
When did Roy become this person? I don't understand. Regardless, LeBron James, we're not fighting LeBron James. I just want to know, Stugatz, what you do with that, the way he ended that. I thought I was talking to a father and daughter until she started calling him husband. I was stunned.
I mean, if words can hurt, those are the words that are going to hurt. I mean, it's a great, I didn't realize LeBron had that in him, and I'm happy to see that he does. I mean, that is taking his game to a whole new level. I mean,
I have some stats here for you guys that I think you might find a little bit surprising.
About LeBron?
Not about LeBron. No. I am segueing. That was a segue. Okay. I feel like I milked everything I could out of a day-old story, and now I was segueing into a different story, and I was hoping nobody would notice. I was segueing into Super Bowl week. I'm about to say something that I believe the crew and the audience will find surprising. Are you guys aware that Travis Kelce is older than Rob Gronkowski? Does that seem possible?
No way.
Given the
get out of here.
Does that seem possible?
It's not possible.
Given the states of their body, and given that Gronk feels like, because of surgeries and because he runs down the field and bolts fall out of his neck, and every once in a while a burning tire goes into the crowd, but he's been physically falling apart for a while. And so I went and looked up the age of Rob Gronkowski and was stunned to find out he's only 31 years old. And I felt like an idiot, but of course the Gronk family just burned brightly across the Gronk brothers, just meathead frat boyed through a decade of fun and party. And we've arrived in a place where Gronk has been in front of us for so long and Kelce hasn't, that we don't understand how Kelce's body is functioning so much better as he's a few months older than or a few months younger than Rob Gronkowski.
This is the most shocking thing I've ever heard. I mean, I'm not even, I'm being serious here. I didn't realize Kelce was this old and Gronk was that young. I mean, to be honest with you.
All right, so it is shocking. No one else. Mike seems decidedly not shocked. Mike seems like the Nigerian vegetable vendor.
No, it's surprising. I knew Gronk was super young. I don't think he was 30 when he decided to retire. So I always knew that about him. It makes sense. Travis Kelce, I think he missed an entire season due to injury. So it doesn't actually seem like he's as old as he is. That's a good shout by you.
Plus, Gronk is playing, you know, three or four extra games just about every year, right? Playoffs.
Yeah.
Wears on you a bit.
Yeah. Travis Kelce is just, it's relatively new, Travis Kelce being on our radar as a superstar. Unless you were a fantasy player, then you've known about Travis Kelce for like 5-6 years.
Can you please get me the stat of the day intro, the short one, please, because I do have something to come back with, bigger, I think, than the stat I just gave you on the ages of Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce as we cover the Super Bowl, Super Bowl week.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
Courtesy of the mother of Mina Kimes, are we allowed to have her on. We can't.
You can have Sun Min on.
Yeah.
We can't have her daughter on. Maybe we should try and make a star, more of a star, is what I should say.
She's already a gigantic
star. More of a star.
Yeah, we'd be using her.
Yes, we'd be using her to get her bump on our platform. Let's get the mom of Mina Kimes on here and see what kind of interview we can do around young Mina. Because we can't have Mina Kimes on. But my guess is Sun Min Kimes, who has quite the personality, is very colorful. My guess is she's got some pretty good Mina stories. But she is giving you the stat that it is very hard to digest that Tom Brady is 43 and the father of Patrick Mahomes is 50. It's a good stat.
The
father of Patrick Mahomes, because this Super Bowl is upon us, and Tom Brady said in a weird Super Bowl press conference media day setting, different from all the others that he's been to, he did point out, and this is such a good ego flex. It really is. This one's so different than the other 9 I've been to. And it is.
What did you add that?
No, but it is. It's like the holy shit. You don't need to say anything else in these press conferences if you're Brady. Hey, this is my 10th one of these. And just leave. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, what do you mean you've had 10 Super Bowl appearances?
Steve Young went into the Hall of Fame at the age of 42. Brady's playing in a Super Bowl at 43.
I told you the Ryan Leaf tweet, it was a month ago, 2 months ago, of saying Tom Brady was on my opposing collegiate sideline. I just watched the dude at 43 throw 4 first half touchdown passes in the NFL, and I strained my calf while trying to take a hike this morning.
Now he wants to play until he's older than 45. I mean, it's never going to stop. It's insane. And why would you stop?
Well, you know what's funny about that? Of course, if you could stay young forever, you would stay young forever. Yeah. But and if you get your identity wrapped up in this, and if you could just keep proving people wrong. But it would be, I mean, Stugatz, never mind what is said about Michael Jordan or Bill Russell. You go in your 1 year in the NFC and you leave after 1 year with as many championships as Breeze has, as many as Aaron Rodgers has. If he runs this gauntlet,
yes,
and would retire at the end of it, he retires as the greatest winner in the history of sports, Michael Jordan included. Does he not? 10 Super Bowl appearances running through this gauntlet at the end without the help of the franchise that you thought might have made him?
I think he's already there. I think if he just being in his 10th Super Bowl, he's already considered the greatest winner in that sport. I'm not certain if people hold him higher than Michael Jordan. I kind of do. Because the NFL, it's just so hard to do what he did.
It is so much harder to. You can be one great player. Look at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He's won once. Drew Brees has all those passing records. He's won once.
Dan Marino didn't win once. I mean, he went to one, didn't win.
Oh, hold on a second. I don't even know what's more impressive. I mean, what is more impressive? Put on the poll, Guillermo. What is more impressive? That Brady's been to 10 or that he's won whatever it is now, 6.
He's won 6. He's going for a 7.
But when I say what is more impressive than that, never mind that Breeze and Rodgers have won 1. How many have they been to? How many have they visited? It's not Rodgers and Breeze don't even have those distinct losing moments.
Right.
Brady's got a bunch of losing moments in the Super Bowl that you remember. Like the difficulty of just getting there, never mind winning. The fact that he did it with this team, it's just such an amazing bleep you running through the gauntlet. The gauntlets we remember where he was the loser, Stugatz, it made a contemporary peer like Eli Manning a Hall of Famer, which he isn't, because he was able to go on the road and win some playoff games and beat Brady. Brady at 40 bleeping 3 with both Mannings gone. Going through road games in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, as I ask you, how many have Brady been to? How many have Rodgers been to?
Well, Rodgers.
How many have Breeze been to?
They've been to 2 combined. I mean, and they won them when they got there. He's been to 10.
10!
Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes. That's who he beats.
Do you really need anything else from Media Day? From anybody, seriously, because you're used to Kansas City now being there, and you fear that they're going to run the league for the next 10 years. And it's not going to be fair. It's not even going to be like the way Patriots did it, where you could always doubt them because they never, except when they had Moss, they didn't seem to always have the best player.
I'm starting to feel like the Bucs might dominate the league for the next 10 years.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Who do you guys think Bill Belichick is rooting for this Sunday? Is it that simple? I feel like the simple answer is that he's, of course, rooting against Brady. But I feel like, you know, a guy he's known for years, worked with. What do you guys think?
You think he roots against Tom Brady?
Yes.
Oh, Dan.
Mike, what are you laughing at there? How awkwardly Chris started that segment by just tossing out a dead fish at the end. What do you guys think?
Well, there's a new game that me and Chris have been kind of flirting around, playing around with. Billy's involved too, but he's on the phone right now, where we just throw something out and we ask you what you think. Like, me and Chris think the M in Mahomes stands for must win.
Yep.
Dan, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
New game. I mean, we're working it out. It's not terribly inventive, but that's the game.
That's the new game?
Yeah.
Oh, listen here, Yarger Narg.
I was going to say, this sounds like a blatant ripoff of Yarger Narg. I mean, asking people yes or no on a question, what do you guys think? I mean, where are the bells? Where are the whistles?
Wait, do you guys realize that Metalark Media is bringing producers with ideas on board, and it's going to have to get better than Yarg or Narg, and what do you guys think?
No,
in terms of Metalark Media being a standard bearer for content across this decade.
But the key is for us to throw out an outlandish statement and then Dan, pause, long pause. What do you think? What do you think?
You want me to try my way?
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yes. No. Darn.
Ahoy, mateys. Back for a second installment, are we? Oh, I thought me segment was cast into the briny deep, but no, I'm saddling up to the bar with me bottle of grog to ask you, be Bill Belichick the kind of man that roots against Tom Brady? Yarg or Narg?
Wait a minute. That sounded like something out of Nottingham. It sounded like something that lives in a forest
Where
more than a pirate.
Where do you think the pirates came from?
They're not
You think they originated from the Caribbean, do ya? We came from Europe.
Really?
I thought you were putting this game away forever.
All right,
Yarg or Narg.
All right, so Yarg or Narg. What is the question against? Is Belichick?
I'll let Chris Cote ask it.
Nice.
Hey, little scallywag, you want to come play Yarg or Narg?
Bill Belichick rooting against Tom Brady. Yarg or Narg?
So much better.
He's a great pirate, man.
Well, Stugatz, of course you're going to say, because Stugatz is the very manifestation of I am a person in all moments that thinks everyone is rooting ill on others. Stugatz prides himself on thinking that always you want someone else to fail.
Right? Yarg.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. A nice little twist of the Yarg or Narg game, fellas. Might be you talking in pirate voices, too. Dan, please, for the love of God, give it a try.
Okay, well, what is the question? Or you just want me to throw it to Stugatz?
Don't give your Brady take, but as a pirate, Yarg or Narg style.
All right, let's see if I can do this.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
I can speak for myself.
Oh,
no, I tell you right now, it's going to be terrible.
Wait a minute.
It's going to sound Asian somehow.
I am now leaking confidence and worried about racial landmines, and all of a sudden,
You just emphasize the arg. And instead of my or I, you say me.
Please, please teach us. Teach us.
There's, I know in 2021, we're all worried about pronouns, are we? The only pronoun me have to worry about as a pirate is me.
So what is the question again? Yarg or narg?
How many times do we have to answer, ask the question?
My first mate over here, Chris Cote, walk the plank and tell them.
Bill Belichick rooting against Tom Brady. Yarg or narg?
Of course. He's already lost, old Belichick has. He's lost already. And he loses some more yarg on Sunday.
You throw a yarg in there to help out.
That's a good try. Good try.
Terrible pirate.
Wait a minute. Stugatz, old crappy beard over here is laughing at us. Let's see what he's got.
Yarg, Bill Belichick will never root for his old matey Tom Brady. Yarg! The what?
All right, where's Billy? Billy, we need some pirate help here, Billy. I think you're a better pirate. I think you're a better pirate. Ask him a second yarg or narg question, a different yarg or narg question.
Billy, me first mate. Is the NFL racially discriminating against African-American males that played in the league comparative to Caucasians? Yarg or narg?
You can't do that to Billy. You can't do that. What happened there? It's neither yarg or narg. That's maybe.
I is basically I plead the fifth. Yarg or narg?
Daddy Blight.
What kind of question is that? You can't try to do that as a pirate. Tackle that particular
subject matter. Or the cognitive test gamed against the African-American former NFL players. Yarg or narg?
Anyone else want to try a pirate? Is everyone out of the pirate game? Are we done with this? Mike.
Roy?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I didn't think Roy would want any part of this. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yarg, by the way, to that last question.
Thank you, Roy.
Appreciate it, mate.
You're welcome.
I did not realize until trying it how hard it was to be Mike Ryan's pirate. We were all very bad at it.
Just you.
No, I feel like you. Wait a minute. All right, put it on the
poll. What do you mean? The watch.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard
Show.
You
should talk as a pirate all the time because your verbal tick of listen goes away when you talk as a pirate. Never once did I hear the pirate tell me to listen.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Whose pirate impersonation was worse, Stugatz or Dan's? I want to get serious for a second here and do some reading, Stugatz, because I don't know if you saw this or not last night, but Martellus Bennett was on Twitter, and he basically just poured himself out. The Bennetts, as you know, they tend to be people who are raw and pretty honest. They say some things. I believe the Bennett brothers are viewed as controversial or outspoken simply because they pretty much tell you what's on their mind all the time in a way that's not very football.
I'm glad they do it, but it seems like an annual thing, does it not? Like a cleansing of the Bennetts. It does. It seems like an annual thing where they talk about some of this stuff in a way that's super smart.
Would you not agree that the Bennett brothers are as interesting as people have been in the NFL in terms of allowing us to see the full portrait of them as human beings, just telling great stories and being really just interesting people. Martellus Bennett always struck me as a bit of an artist sort of stuck in this game because his body and, these guys, they get so good at things. Martellus Bennett, I'm pretty sure, I think it was Houston, wherever it was that he was a high school phenom, he was the best of everything around him in terms of athletics, and there were plenty of athletic people around him, all of them sort of fighting to get to money and stuff, and he was the one who arrived there. And I don't know, many of you probably think that Martellus Bennett was an okay tight end, a little bit above average as a tight end. I happen to think that he sort of is one of the guys who ushered in this next evolution of all these freaks at the position, that he was uncommonly athletic for his size and for everything about him. He was a person who was very large. And these people are so large, Stugatz. I don't know. I don't know if you saw, but the Chad Wheeler episode, have you read some of these details on Chad Wheeler? The many of you may not know the name, a backup Seattle Seahawks offensive lineman, played like 60 games, came very close to murdering his girlfriend in what might have been a bipolar, he's claiming is a bipolar snap, a manic episode. Some of the details about him wishing for her to bow to him suggest a mania and some of the high-end stuff you see with bipolar stuff. But did you see what it took to restrain him?
Narg.
Poor timing there.
Yeah, don't, dude.
Poor timing.
I'm going to do a pickup there. You can't go pirate on the
You told me to never stop talking like a pirate.
That's very true.
I got rid of the listen. All right, I was listening to you.
Just leave it in.
Yeah.
Just leave it in. It's poor timing by Stugatz.
It
is acknowledged. Let the people see.
He had a lot going on last week, and I'm pretty sure he missed the Wheeler story.
All right, let's see.
I don't even know who Wheeler is.
All right, let's just leave everything right where it is. No pickup. We keep barreling through it so the audience can see the dirty underbelly of how the show was made, because
I'm not certain.
Look, it was very poor timing by you. It seemed like you weren't listening at all to anything I was saying, and that you were just interested in getting off your Narg pirate humor.
That's accurate.
And it will be funny for its awkwardness, but I will barrel through this and again get into the serious topic and the serious subject matter of it took three police officers, three of them, to try to subdue him. They said that he was picking all of them up rather easily, picking his body up rather easily while they were draped on him, and that he wasn't reacting in any discernible way to their tasing of him. This is how gone and how strong this backup for the Seattle Seahawks is and was at the height of crazy. But Martellus Bennett is taking you into the belly of the beast when he's going on the following Twitter screed, and I will tell you, I will warn you in advance, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading here, but I think it's insightful, sort of a guy just musing about his post-NFL career, and we've talked a lot around here, Stugatz. Your identity gets wrapped up in the gladiator sport, and next thing you know, at 30 years old, you are grieving the man you used to be, the identity you used to be. Your identity is tied up in something that is very hard to deal with in retirement when you've been a man's man on Sundays at the center of America's most popular sport. In brute strength, bigger, stronger, faster world, on Sundays, they are yours. You are the gladiator spectacle. You are giving your body to the cause. You're the closest thing we have in professional sports to the gladiator spectacle.
And just like that, it's gone. Difficult.
And then it's gone, yeah. And you have the rest of your life to live.
Jeez, if I'm playing the drinking game when it comes to gladiator spectacle, I'm doing a double chug.
So here we go. Honestly, football made me such an angry person. Everything bothered me. Football is interesting. Psychologically, it's some real dangerous shit. To really play the game of football, you have to do some up wiring in your head. It's chaotic. It takes years and years of brainwashing to go along with a lot of the shit. It starts at peewee. That's why you got to watch who is coaching your kids and what they're teaching them beyond the game. We were groomed from a young age to care a little less about humans. If you're the backup and the man in front of you goes down, you kind of get excited but feel bad at the same time. Shit's crazy. Most of these coaches aren't good men. Most of them are egotistical, small dick heroes. They love the spotlight just as much as the players, and they be dumb too. Most of your favorite players aren't good people. Like, for real, for real. There are some good dudes, though. John Kitna, it's probably one. This one was funny. This one made me laugh the first time I read it, and it's going to make me laugh again. This is just a good tweet, and it's indisputably a good tweet. After most of your favorite players aren't good people, like, for real, he follows it up with, there are some good dudes, though. John Kitna, probably one of the best people I've ever met. He's up there with Tom Hanks.
Wow. He must be so nice.
Hanksy.
Such a great job explaining how nice John Kitna might be.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is it the greatest of compliments to nice people to be compared to Tom Hanks? Because I just wasn't expecting that tweet in the middle of it. There are some good dudes, though. Like, he's on a screen, he's angry, he's talking about how bad the system is, how violent it is, and there are a lot of terrible people and dumb people.
I'd say yarg to that question.
There are some good dudes, though. John Kitna, probably one of the best people I've ever met. He's up there with Tom Hanks. And then he gets right back to it. But yeah, football really f*** up your mental. That's an unbelievable transition by him. Just an aside, John Kitna, right up there with Tom Hanks. But yeah, football really f***s up your mental.
And the bipolar nature of those two tweets, one after another, really hammers it home.
Integrating back into everyday society after career continues to be a struggle for a lot of guys. The PTSD, the identity crisis, the pain, the constant reminder of who you used to be by fans and trophies and highlights and family as you're trying to transition into the new you really slows down the process. Also, starting over, shedding the ego and starting over after you've made it to the top is hard. It's hard to become a nobody after you were a somebody. Also, guys should also prepare their families for retirement, life after football, because everyone is retiring because football is truly family when you're a player or coach. The other thing that I've talked to guys about that they are no longer being a part of is the locker room. Understanding that a lot of people weren't really their friend, it was just the proximity that brought the closeness. It really hurts athletes. After all you've been through, you would think y'all would be friends forever. You've put your body on the line for these dudes, this team. You'll shower together, cry together, been around each other's kids. And when you're no longer on the team, that bond can be broken quickly. Also, no longer being famous. Some guys need that stardom. Well, they don't need it, but they crave it. How could you not? It's been a drug since childhood. You've been a star for forever. But now, how can you shine without the game? That drives a lot of players into a dark place, which is fascinating because they want to shine so badly that they end up in the darkest of places. Another thing that is happening is most guys don't know how to make money. Making money is hard as fuck. Once your body breaks down, that money machine is gone. And unfortunately, the spare parts in the mind that don't break are so rusty, you get discouraged when trying to use them. The institutionalization of sports is something that isn't spoken about enough. Kids get funneled in, and when you sign those permission slips, you're signing over your identities. Training camp is brainwashing camp. The other thing that happens is questioning if it was all worth it. When you struggle lifting up your kid or your mind doesn't work right, you go broke, you begin questioning if it was all worth it. And more times than not, most would say no when truly being honest. A lot of people think I've been shitting on football, but that's not true. I just provide a different perspective on the experience. Athletes experience a lot of physical and mental abuse. It's a traumatic experience. I believe guys must find a way to deal with the physical and mental trauma after they leave the game. What are your thoughts there, Stu Guy?
Well, I appreciate him giving that side of it because you don't hear it that often. And I think as fans, we don't think about it very much after they leave us on Sundays. We don't think about, hey, what's going on with, I don't know, for me, Mickey Schuler was a hero to me growing up that I watched every Sunday. And then he stopped playing on Sundays and I didn't care what Mickey Schuler was doing anymore. And that seems terribly unfair, but that's just the way fandom is. Football served Martellus Bennett very, very well for a very long time until he was the age of 33. He made a lot of money off of it. I am a little bit surprised the NFL and the Players Association has not done a better job because we're still hearing about stories like this in 2021 of helping guys prepare for this once they are no longer able to play football. That is disappointing that there is not a better plan in place to help people out like Martellus Bennett. But I can't imagine what it's like to be 33. And the thing that defines you is A, maybe not what you thought it was, right? And B, it's over. Like that part of your, like the best part of your life is over at the age of 33.
And now it gets hard. And now your life gets hard because now you realize who your family and your friends are. Now you realize what you've done to your body. Now everything has slowed down. You're grieving the person that you used to be. But then on top of all of that, there's the physical pain that you are in because Stugatz, I'm telling you, I've seen some difficult footage of these guys in their 50s and 60s and 70s, when you're talking about HBO Real Sports or you're talking about some documentary movies that have been made about football and you're watching in nursing homes people that weren't cared for very well, their minds are gone, being, you know, dragging their families to the grave with them because they need help and they can't get these settlements. They can't. The process is so stringent. HBO Real Sports has done some good work on this. The process is so stringent in terms of how you can get to that money, what you have to prove in terms of disability, that a lot of people get declined who think they are more than worthy to get a little bit of money for their pain back when the sport wasn't governed the way that it is now. And it's still unbelievably dangerous.
Does he seem, as you read that, he seems conflicted, does he not, as to whether or not football was a good thing for him or not?
He just seems sad.
Yeah.
He seems somebody who is seeing clearly. I think what you said on the front end there was wise, where you said, this thing that I thought I was a part of, it's not what I thought it was, that I wasn't friends with those guys. It was just the proximity. We were working together. He's realizing that some of his relationships are empty. He's realizing that some of what he was chasing by being, he's calling himself brainwashed.
Because in those moments, you'll say, hey, friends forever, friends for life. And then you all start to retire. You get older. The body starts hurting. You get married. You have families. And oh, no.
Oh, but that's not, it's not even families, because the college guys, man, this has happened. This is the part of the University of Miami stuff that I miss the most, because the way the old guys talk about the University of Miami, the Ed Reeds of the world, as he tries to bring back some of that stuff in his ambassador position at the University of Miami. Those guys talk about loving the college experience so much more than their Hall of Fame professional experience, simply because the moment they left college, they walked into a business world where it wasn't the guy next to you as your friend that you're coming up in college together and it's friends for life because we were boys in college when we were coming up. No, you get to a professional locker room and all of a sudden, what did he just say? He just said proximity. I thought I had friends, but it wasn't friends. It was just proximity. There's a coldness to the business. And then on top of that, the part that you're mentioning, Stugatz, is this thing that I thought, brotherhood for life, football, I love football. And football's going to love me, right? No, football's going to dispose of you, and you're going to realize that it's colder. Like, you didn't even know while you were giving all the quotes about football as a business, you didn't realize how true that was. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're totally giving all those quotes because you're one of the smart guys.
Right.
You're one of the guys who's thought this through. And if you have that mind, which can be a poison, that mind is taking you to some dark places now because you're like, what did I do? What did I do? I made money, but now I don't know how to use it. And he realizes as he's, you know,
poured, how do I make more?
Well, he's poured himself into a children's book. I don't know if he's having money problems, but just, and then family, how your family deals with your retirement, all those interpersonal issues as you get absorbed back at home with your miseries to your wife.
I think the physical pain is just something we don't, man, we should. I mean, we're watching it every Sunday. It's violent. We don't realize what effects that can have on a person as they get into their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, he is in such pain. I'm not saying he is, but NFL players, former NFL players, are in such pain. Yeah, it's hard to find a job. It's hard to get work. It's hard to make money because you physically can't do it. And maybe mentally you can't either.
Super Bowl week!
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.